In the next 28 minutes, we're going to dive into the world that a lot of people aren't talking about. It's a world that is shrouded in silence, secrecy, abuse.
From the mentally ill mother, alcoholic father, poverty, sexual abuse. It actually took me 62 years to realize why God didn't remove me from that.
One in four women absolutely experienced this. I was in an abusive marriage.
Sadly, these victims of abuse, they often fight the rest of their life to overcome the trauma and the torment that they were left with at the hands of their abuser. And without help, these survivors can suffer from feelings of worthlessness, shame, depression, fear, and often these emotions, and they're real, they lead to feelings of absolute hopelessness, and in very extreme cases, even suicide.
A lot of people just don't realize the agony that a child goes through. I think a lot of children that die that are labeled accidents, they were actually suicide that was disguised as accidents.
There is hope. There is a pathway to healing. And one of the key components to this healing is forging a connection with other survivors. I've had the privilege of meeting two very powerful, dynamic women who are working to break this cycle of abuse, and they're on a mission to bring healing to those who've survived it. My guests, Dr. Karen McDonald and Carrie Robinson, they're on a very personal mission to bring the much-needed healing and tools for total life restoration to survivors through an innovative, restorative program called Rachel's Rest. I invite you to stay tuned because today we're going to break the enemy's chains of abuse and bring help to God's precious daughters right here on this very special edition of One on One. Karen, Carrie, I want to welcome you to the program today. It's just a joy to have you. And this topic that we're talking about is something that many people are really struggling through and need to understand that there are steps to arrive at a place that you describe as healing. Is that right?
That's correct.
This whole topic of healing is so important. In fact, I would establish that it's critical. Most people that have gone through some sort of abuse or trauma in their life, they spend their life coping. And many of them, well, they're not coping at all. The result of the abuse that has happened in their life without healing, without professional help, without God, it ends up in many cases being a train wreck for people, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You, Karen, are a survivor yourself. In fact, you've written a book that I just think would be fantastic for anyone watching to get their hands on called Blind Trust, A Child's Legacy. It really puts a spotlight on why this topic is so very important to you.
Well, I was born into domestic violence and sexual abuse on a daily way of life.
Wow.
From the poverty, from the mentally ill mother, from the alcoholic father, from the sexual abuse, everything that went on in the family. If you grow up with domestic violence or abuse of any kind, you develop a low self-esteem, feelings of worthlessness, and spiritual confusion, and a host of other things. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of children die that are labeled accidents, they were actually suicide that was disguised as accidents. They swam out too far in the lake, or they tied a jump rope around their neck, or, ran out in front of a car, other things. So a lot of people just don't realize the agony that a child goes through on a day-to-day basis. So, well, if you grow into adulthood with that mindset, then you're not going to go to college, you're not going to get a good job, you're going to settle for whatever crumbs life will throw you.
Yeah.
So they usually end up in an abusive relationship or become abusers themselves.
Wow. How many are not being treated that are just going through life? The victims of abuse, now living through abuse, the effects of abuse, a train wreck in their relationships and job and what have you. How many of them are there?
The vast majority do not get help.
And the statistics, as I was studying them before the show, are just confounding to logic. How many people are suffering with abuse? How many women at the hands of an abusive husband or alcoholic, and a whole host of reasons why women in marriages or not in relationships or trying to get into relationships or surviving relationships are abused, and their children too. The numbers are staggering.
Absolutely, Damon. Statistically, probably someone that you know has experienced abuse. 1 in 4 women, typically. So you, whether you realize it or not, someone you know has absolutely experienced this. I had an experience with it myself.
Wow.
I was in an abusive marriage. I spent 3 years just taking time to heal, not dating, spending time alone before I engaged in any other type of relationships. Now I'm remarried very happily and very successfully. Yeah. But it took time to heal. And if you don't heal those hurts, then they're going to go with you. You may want to pack them up and put them in a closet right behind you, like you said.
And never look
back. But
their
skeletons, they're still there. They haven't been addressed. And they're going to go with you in your future if they're not healed.
How does someone know that they're being abused that might not know it today? Give me some examples.
Children who grow up in abuse don't know they're being abused because they think that their parents are there to protect them and love them. And if they get punished for something, they think they did something wrong.
Got it.
So it becomes not that they did something wrong, so they got punished for it. Their belief system develops into, I am wrong. I'm just inherently flawed and there's nothing I could do to redeem myself.
But so extreme punishment is what you're talking about.
Right. And that can be anything from, burning with cigarettes or beatings or whatever. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times those people grow up and it's only when they get into the workforce or get around normalcy, they get around other normal relationships.
Yeah.
And that's when they begin to realize that maybe they're not responding in a normal sense.
Hmm. Carrie?
Have you heard of the frog in the pot? I think a lot of times victims of abuse, when you turn the heat up slowly, so slowly, it is a slow burn.
Got it.
And they don't necessarily know that it's happening or recognize it or even know there are cycles of abuse because maybe it's new or you grew up with it and this is all that you know. And eventually that water is so hot that the frog boils in the pot and never jumps out. Whereas if you put the frog right in the pot and turned it on high right away, they would realize there was something different. But this is the thing, is that sometimes you don't know. There are certain things in their behaviors that they'll learn that they're doing that are unhealthy.
Got it. So the obvious are physical abuse,
mm-hmm.
right? I think we can all get our head around that. A child that's being beaten, or sexual abuse. We can get our head wrapped around that. We know what that is. But beyond the physical abuse, there's a tremendous amount of psychological abuse
right.
that's going on. And that constitutes abuse too. Am I right?
Right. The best definition I ever heard for emotional abuse is that it's a slow and silent hemorrhaging of the soul.
Wow.
And that's really what it does. It drains the life out of you. You begin to believe the abuser's accusations. Whatever they say to you, you begin to think, well, I must be a terrible mother, or I am a terrible cook, or no other man would ever have me anyway, or whatever lines they feed the other person, the victim begins to believe that.
Yeah.
So they get more and more beaten down. Their self-esteem drops lower and lower.
Confidence goes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They become shameful.
Yes.
Right?
You feel embarrassed, ashamed, and responsible. And you're told that you are.
And that shame can cause you to go inward or hide.
When I came across Rachel's Rest, I had already been through all of this and healed from it. But I just thought, oh, I wish that organization had existed when I needed it.
Yeah.
I got the best of what I could get that was available at the time. But nothing like this program exists. And statistically, plenty of people else out there experiencing what we've experienced. And I want to see them healed. I want to see them get the restoration that they need. I want them to know that there's help and there's somewhere that they can go to bond with other survivors, to get the tools that they need to heal and to go on with the life that God has called them to.
Because there needs to be some place where people can come and get healing and strength and the tools to change their lives. Most people want to change their lives. They're not happy with it the way it is.
Yeah.
Even though that's all they know, they want to change, but they don't know how to change.
Sure. With all of the people that are struggling and suffering, with all of the many, many, many women and children that are barely surviving, The goal of Rachel's Rest is to help them survive.
We exist to help women and children who've experienced violence or sexual abuse regain their balance in life. It goes across the board of all ages and all, of course, every economic status and everything else.
So it's not a respecter of persons.
Exactly.
Abuse affects everyone or can affect everyone from all walks of life, regardless of income or background or creed or culture. Is that right?
Correct. You know, I have an 85-year-old client who's still having trouble resetting herself from being molested at the age of six. So we just hope to change their mindset when they're at Rachel's Rest retreats so that they want to build a better life for themselves, and we give them the tools to do that.
Yeah.
And I believe, as far as we can determine, we are the only program of its kind in the entire world.
Wow. Rachel is an important part of this story. The organization bears her name.
Right.
And it was a story that touched your life in a profound way. Give us a little bit, if you would, about Rachel, her story, and then I want to talk about this amazing institution, organization, retreat center called Rachel's Rest.
She was 17 when I met her. She was a victim of satanic ritual abuse and was damaged.
Wow.
So we became very close. She was on her own at 17. She was not close to anyone in her family. And I kind of became a mother substitute for her. And she just became very, very special to me. She was found dead in her dorm room in college when she was 26.
Wow.
I gave the eulogy at her memorial service. And it was 2 years later that I kind of had an assignment from God to start this. And Rachel always said she would go to a cabin that I had at the time on the Toccoa River. And she said that was the only place she could ever rest, that she could ever get any respite from her spinning thoughts,
wow.
the only place where she could sleep. And she used to tell me, you should build a place where every survivors can come together and just have fun.
Wow.
So a couple of years after she died, I realized I was going to build a retreat center. But I didn't have the money or the ways or means of doing that. So it was going to take an act of God to get this together. But that's our goal, is to build a place where survivors can come together and find some rest, even for 1 week, and get the tools they need to go forward with their lives.
Wow. That is a refuge, if you will. It's a center for women and children of abuse that they can go to walk out the steps of healing. And like Rachel's story, there are so many that if they were to get help at the right time, well, many of them would still be with us today. There was a young lady that is part of our extended family. She's a friend of my sister's. And we just found out days ago that she took her own life. This was a young, early 20s, vibrant, pretty girl that had so much before her in life. So many gifts and talents, I'm sure, that God planted inside of her. And all of hell wanted to see those gifts go to the grave. She had dreams. She had aspirations. She had hopes. She wanted to get married one day, have children one day, wanted a career. We're all born with dreams and hopes and aspirations. And all of us should have the opportunity to see those come to pass. All of us have the right to live a life that is healthy and whole, where we can be happy. There are so many people that are at that place today where something has happened to them. They've given up. They've lost hope. They're discouraged. They're living in shame. They're in fear. They're depressed. But there's hope for them if we reach them. If we reach them. If we reach them. I believe if Rachel had received the right kind of help when she needed it most, her story might be different today, wouldn't it?
I agree. Absolutely.
She'd be alive. She'd be thriving.
Mm-hmm.
How many, Karen, are just like Rachel? How many do you see?
Hundreds over the last few years. You know, the statistics are that 1 in 3 girls will be molested, experience sexual abuse before the age of 18.
Wow.
And 1 in 5 boys. So if you average that out, that's 1 in 4 children.
Wow.
And whether that's a one-time occurrence that makes them uncomfortable, but it gets dealt with okay, and they go on to live normal lives, or whether that's someone like myself who experienced it from infancy until I left home, ran away from home as a 14-year-old.
Wow.
And you look at the sex trade industry, and a lot of those girls have come out of family situations where they're just trying to get away from abuse from a family member.
Yeah.
And they would rather give it away on the streets or, you know, make a couple of dollars at it.
Sure.
Rather than being abused by their own family.
Yeah.
So it's a massive problem. It's global.
Yeah.
We want to reach as many people as we possibly can. To do that, we've got to have the retreat center built, and then we can have more retreats and train more counselors and more volunteers. The program itself has 2 hours of classroom time in the morning and 2 hours of classroom time in the evening.
And in that classroom time, what are you teaching them?
We talk about the different aspects that survivors face. Trust is always a huge issue.
Trust.
The sense of shame and guilt. And the last day, we focus on whatever that particular group needs to. Sometimes it's confronting the abuser. Sometimes it's parenting issues.
Mm-hmm.
But we have specific topics for each day, like the symptoms of abuse and how they got to where they are at this point in life. They may be dealing with drug or alcohol addiction. They may be dealing with parenting struggles. Maybe it's low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's fears and phobias. You know, whatever they're dealing with, we talk about those in the morning time. The evening classes are more geared toward the future and what they want their life to look like, helping them discover God's plan for their life based on their talents, their spiritual gifts.
Wow.
God created us to have voice and to have power and to have relationships. And abuse destroys all three of those things.
Mm.
And it shuts down our voice. It keeps us from speaking up for ourselves. And that's one of, our retreat is designed so that people can find their voice. And through some of the activities we do, in the middle of the day, we have recreational activities.
Yeah.
So they can find their voice to say, I'm not crossing that ridge. I'm not swimming down that river or rafting down the river. I'm not doing that. Or they can face their fears and go ahead and try something new. For the ones that come to Rachel's Rest and they learn how to touch someone without being terrified, when they learn how to conquer some of their fears, when they get some tools under their belt to know how to go back home and be a better parent, or learn, you know, that they want to go back to school, they do want a better job than what they're stuck in, or all kinds of things. The difference that it makes in those individual lives are well worth it to us.
Sure. God has clearly called you to this purpose, mm-hmm. to this initiative to help bring healing to people that need it in abuse.
Someone who came to the retreat had never touched anyone in her life to hug them or hold them. She had a grown daughter who now has a small child, a preschooler at the time she came to our retreat, and she had never held her granddaughter. She just could not handle the physical touch. At the last day of our retreat, everyone was hugging each other goodbye and planning for a reunion the next year, and there were tears and hugs. And one of the ladies asked her if she would allow her to give her a hug, and she just nodded her head, and she did. And then everyone kind of got in line and said, can I get a hug too?
Wow.
And she did, and she was crying, and she said, I think I can hold my granddaughter now.
Oh, my God.
So for me, that's one life that's changed. And somewhere in this country, there's a little girl who's getting hugs from her grandmother who would have probably never got that if she had not been to the retreat.
Yeah.
They need guidance. They need to understand what it is that they're going through. And often these women are isolated. The loudest voice in their ear is that of the abuser.
Mm.
And that's why these retreats are so powerful, because these women are with other victims who are becoming survivors and trying to get past this experience of abuse.
Sure.
And so rather than living in this place of isolation, they find people that they can connect with. They can be in counseling at the same time they're connecting with other people who've experienced the same thing. So it just becomes such a powerful way of reconnection rather than isolation.
I want to put some statistics on the screen here. I want you to look at those numbers. Look at how many children are the victims of abuse today. Those statistics are startling. I want you to look at the statistics of the amount of women in abusive relationship being beaten, being discredited, being discouraged, told that they're not worth anything. And now the number you're looking at is the number of suicides that occurred. We cannot ignore the numbers. As they say, the numbers do not lie. All it takes is a few people willing to slow down long enough to pay attention to those startling numbers and ask the question, how can I help?
Yeah, so we do a number of fundraiser events at Rachel's Rest. We typically, April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, so we always have events going on this time of the year in April. And then we do things all throughout the year, but in September and October, we also kick off a lot of fundraising efforts for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So yeah, we're continually doing fundraisers because we don't want to turn anyone away.
Who wants to turn anyone away? If money was not a problem, you'd help so many.
That's right.
But money is a problem when there are so many to help and you can't find the resources to help them. That's what sponsorship's all about. What can I do to stop this abuse from happening? What can they do today? If I want to get involved, what do I do now?
Typically takes about $1,200 to fund one survivor.
Got it.
For the children's retreat, it's $1,500 because they bring a support person with them.
Right.
And we have extra counselors.
So any gifts that you give to this program will help survivors.
Sure.
So every little bit makes a huge difference for an individual.
The money's not going into your pocket. It's paying for the facilities. Mm-hmm. It's paying for the professional help. It's paying for foodstuffs and lodging. There's a lot that this money goes to do. Is that right?
Right. None of our contributions go to the administrative cost. Mm. We cover that through my individual counseling. It just goes right into Rachel's Rest.
Wow.
And will also help us with the permanent retreat center that we're trying to build.
If I had $10 to give today, is that welcome or is it?
Absolutely. $1,200, it's welcome.
$1 is welcome.
Yes.
I just want to tell you, I am delighted to know you. I'm delighted to know someone is out on the front lines doing something to make a difference. And we're going to partner with you. We're going to work with you and help you. I'm going to allow our viewers to get connected with you. And I want to send out an e-appeal to all of the people that are connected with One-on-One so that we can let them know how they can help. I just commend you for what you're doing and Carrie for what you're doing. I think that a lot of people can identify with what they're hearing today. It doesn't matter if I only have $10 to give today. You'll take it. You'll do something with it. It's a seed to help bring healing to someone that's abused. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, one thing that really touched me is that I am doing emailing with a girl in Africa who found us on the web. And there was no place she could go, no help for her.
Wow.
And she was desperate for just someone to give some guidance to her and that sort of thing. So
Rachel's Rest is not limited to just a location, a retreat in the mountains. Rachel's Rest is really a global movement to bring understanding to the issues, to the plight, to the need for survival and healing in places of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that is bringing rest to people, rest in their mind, rest in their spirit, rest in their soul. So I'm inviting everyone watching, regardless of the size of the seed that they could sow to help another individual, sow it liberally. There is a darkness that's been allowed to grow for too long. It has sought to rob women, children, their hopes, their dreams. For many children and women, abuse, it's a regular, constant experience. It happens every day. The effects go on for generations that can rob them from joy and the future that God promised them. But that all stops now. We have the power, you and I today, to create a cycle of healing, to set something in motion with Rachel's Rest. Dr. McDonald and the caring staff of Rachel's Rest provide professional, clinical counseling from a Christian perspective to those who have been hurt and affected by abuse. Meeting the needs of hurting people will not only help them individually, but it will strengthen their families, give them and their children a better start in life. It is your generosity that will help bring hope and healing to abuse victims through retreats, individual and group counseling, and so many things. There are several ways for you to join in. You might consider making a one-time gift today, any amount that would be helpful in serving us in this growing need to do what we've been called to do. Maybe you feel led to make it possible for a woman or a child to receive the intensive care that they need to heal their hearts. A sacrificial one-time gift of $1,500 makes it possible to bring healing. Of course, you can always become a monthly partner. To keep their life-giving mission moving forward makes all the difference in the world. Make a decision now to help me bring healing and restoration and hope to people who are in need. Heal their hearts. I want to send you a DVD documentary revealing the great work and method of Rachel's Rest, as well as giving you a chance to hear from those who have discovered a new life as a survivor thanks to this vital ministry. You'll also receive Karen's book that you saw featured on today's program, Blind Trust, A Child's Legacy. This powerful, moving memoir, it speaks candidly from a perspective of an impressionable 3-year-old little girl as she grows up in a dark world of alcoholism, incest, and religiosity. This is a powerful, personal story that will move you to action today. And as my special gift, when you call today and sow a seed of any amount, either a one-time gift or a monthly partnership that helps us do it again and again and again, I want to give you the complete uncut interview, over an hour of conversation, insight, and moving testimony that will help inspire you and move you to join a movement that is bringing healing to the world. I'm going to ask you to let the Lord lead you and how you can make a decision now to help me bring healing and restoration and hope to people who are in need. Please don't delay. Every moment counts. Every second is an opportunity for you and I to make a difference. Thank you. Make a difference in the life of someone who needs help so desperately by making one simple phone call. One simple phone call can make a difference today.
Thanks for joining us on our one-on-one broadcast. For more information about the guests and products you heard about today, please visit our website at damondavis.com.